Let's take our Bibles and turn to John 15 tonight. Are you there? Let's look here in verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you're clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except you abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. That ought to be a verse that every one of us puts to memory, and that we ought to remember, without him. Folks, tonight, if I understand the Bible, and I believe I do at least in this point, we can't even breathe without him. It's in him that we live and move and have our very being. When we put one foot in front of the other, it's because he helped us. When our feet hit the ground this morning, we rolled over out of the bed, it was because he helped us. Amen. He said, without me, you can do nothing. I pray the day never comes when I think I can do something without him, because I believe that would be a day where a man would be full of pride, and we need to realize we can't do it without him. If a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch and is withered. Men gather them and cast them into the fire. They are burned. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Boy, just pick something up right there. If the Lord will help me, I'll remember to come back to that. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Now look at verse number 11. This is where my heart is tonight, looking at this chapter. These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Let me ask you this question tonight. When's the last time you met an individual and you just sensed, and your feeling about your interaction with that individual is that they are full of joy? God wants us to be full, doesn't he? Full of joy. You can be seated, and I'll show you something in the book of Peter in just a moment, and then we'll look in this chapter. Father, thank you tonight for the word of God. And I pray, Lord, tonight that you'll just clothe us in our calling and give us ears to hear what the Holy Spirit would say to us this evening. Lord, we sure do thank you for loving us. And God, we pray that because you love us, we'll love others and love each other until you come. I pray now, Lord, you'll give us clear direction in the word of God this evening. In Jesus' precious name, and amen, and amen. Turn over with me to the book of Peter. Let me show you a verse that came to my heart and mind a moment ago. And then later on, I'm going to show you how it fits with what Sister Tanita sang a while ago. The God on the mountain, he's still God in the valley. Look in verse number, verse number 8. Whom having not seen. Now that whom is Jesus. It talks about praise and honor and glory in verse 7 at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Whom having not seen. Has anybody here seen him? No. Anybody here love him? The Bible said, whom having not seen, you love. In whom, though now you see him not. What's the next two words? You see how important that is? The whole book of John is written that you might believe. That's what God wants us to do, is believe him. He said, yet believing, you rejoice with what? Joy. Unspeakable. In other words, if you've got that kind of joy, it will show, but you really can't describe it. Amen. There's just nothing would put it into words. My grandpa used to preach, and he'd say it like this. It's a whole lot better felt than it is told. Amen. The joy of God. He said here, joy unspeakable and full of glory. Looks to me like that joy in the heart and life of the Christian brings glory to God. Think about that. If we want our lives to bring glory to God, what had happened to David when he got away from God, when he looked on that woman and lusted after her and sent for her? And you know the story. It all went, the snowball just rolled downhill from there. David lost his joy. And I tell you, God was not getting glory out of David's life until you did come to Psalm 51 and David repented of his sin. Amen. And then God could get glory once again out of his life. I want to show you some things here talking about the believer's joy in John chapter number 15. It has to do with our fellowship. I want you to see in the first few verses here about the vine and the branches. These things about fellowship are not always easy. Sometimes we talk like it's easy. But let me ask you this question. Is it easy for you to keep your heart clean? Is that easy? Do you find yourself ashamed of what's going on sometimes in your heart and in your mind? And I'm going to tell you, the Bible said in verse number 3, now you're clean. I believe, first of all, if we're going to have fellowship, we've got to be clean. Listen, man cannot fellowship with God apart from the Holy Ghost of God speaking to a man's heart and the Word of God speaking to a man's heart and causing that man to be clean before God. I believe we're living in a generation, listen, where people think they can come to church, it don't matter whether they're clean or not. Come to a pulpit, it don't matter whether they're clean or not. You know, just go on through life, go to work, go to school, it don't matter whether they're clean or not. And we wonder what happened to the joy. I'm going to tell you something right now, beloved, the joy comes through fellowship, and we can't fellowship without being clean before God. Aren't you glad for the blood of Jesus that cleanses us, the Word of God said, from all unrighteousness? Aren't you glad that when we blow it, amen, God's not wanting us to run around and just hide it. What He's wanting us to do is uncover it and say, God, I messed up. I need You to cover it. I need You to help me and forgive me. Cleanness. Now you're clean through the Word which I've spoken unto you. I appreciate the disciples. They didn't always get it right. But I tell you what, Jesus always got it right. And beloved, listen, they understood at times when they missed it that they had to be cleaned up before God. Not only does it speak of this fellowship, speak of cleanness, and I think that's important, beloved, very, very, very important. I can remember when I was a kid, Mom would say, you need to go take a bath. And then she'd call me that Rick word with a Y on the end of it. Don't call me that. Mama called me that. Don't you call me that. I'd come out of there. On the way back there, she'd say, don't forget to use soap. You don't have to teach your kids that, do you? Amen? Don't forget to use soap. Now, I'm going to tell you something right now. I believe a lot of God's people are trying to be clean and have forgotten about what it cost that we could be clean. That same blood that flowed down that we could be saved is the same blood that it takes to cleanse us from our sin. Amen? And that we might walk with God. I've seen my mama take her finger and lick it like that. Your mama never did do that. She'd say, you didn't get clean. I'd say, Mama, that's suntan. I've seen my mama do this. Suntan don't come off, son. Get back in there. Amen. Sister Jane, you're grinning back there. Aaron never did do something like that, did he? All the time, I bet. Amen. I can just see it. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. There's no use acting like we're clean if we're not clean. We cannot. We can fool our spouse. We can fool others, but we cannot fool our Savior. He knows tonight whether our heart is clean before Him or not. Not only does fellowship speak of cleanness, and I think if the cleanness goes away, the joy goes away, but it also speaks of closeness. The next verse says, abide in me, and I in you. Beloved, to abide means to be close. It means to be consistent. It means to be constant in our fellowship with Him. He said, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except you abide in me. My wife's got a beautiful tomato plant going at home, and it's got blooms on it. She's concerned about it because it doesn't have any maters on it yet. But anyway, I'll tell you this, you can have that bloom or that mater hanging out there, and you take a pair of scissors and you cut that right there, and I can tell you this, there never will be a mater on the end of that thing. It has to be hooked up to the vine, which is hooked up to the root. Say amen. Which draws our beloved from the soil the nutrients that's needed to make fruit. And God said, I want you to be clean. I want you to be full of joy. I want you to be close. And then it has to do with the commandments. The Word of God said in verse 9 down through verse number 14, as the Father hath loved me, so I have loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. This is my commandment, verse 12, that you love one another as I have loved you. I want to say this tonight. Please listen to me carefully, and I believe this is true. If we are clean and we are close, we're abiding in the vine. I don't believe love is something that you have to work at. I believe it'll just flow like honey. Say amen. And really, it's not flowing out of us. It's flowing through us. It comes from the Father through the child of God into a world that's destitute of God's love. I believe that it's important tonight, if we're going to have that fullness of joy, if we're going to have that joy unspeakable and full of glory. Jesus said, I want my joy to remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Beloved, I believe that's what he's talking about. Look again at the end of the book of John. I believe this is exactly what Jesus is saying here. Let me give you this. Over, I think it's chapter 20. We've been reading these verses a lot. In verse 30, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. I believe that's the salvation experience being spoken of there. And then he said, and that believing you might have life through his name. I believe, Brother John, that's what you were talking about over there where it says add to your faith. And going on, not just life eternal, but life abundant. God wants us to have an abundant, overflowing life. The songwriter said it like this, I'm drinking from the saucer because my cup has overflowed. Amen. When our cup overflows, it'll spill over on somebody else and help them along life's way. The believer's joy, has to do with fellowshipping. But then it comes also and has to do with friendship. Look in verse number 15. The Word of God said, henceforth I call you not servants. I think it's honorable tonight. Peter would say, Peter, a servant of the Lord Jesus. Paul, a servant. Jude, a servant. They thought it honorable to be called a servant. And listen, I think it is too. My life verse is 2 Corinthians 4:5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servant for Jesus' sake. But Jesus saying in this verse right here, there's even something better than just being a servant, and that's being a friend. He said the servant don't know what his master's doing. But boy, isn't it good to get on the inside track with God and know what God's doing. And God can use the likes of you and I for his honor and for his glory. He said, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But he said, I've called you friends. You think about that. That the likes of him would call the likes of us a friend. Amen. Beloved, that's a blessing. I sent Brother Don a text last Sunday night after church. I said, Brother Don, thank you for being a friend of God. I'm going to tell you something. You won't be around that man long and not know that he's a friend of God. I said, Brother Don, thank you for being a friend of Bible Way. And then I said, Brother Don, thank you for being a friend to this pastor. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, this world needs a friend. Amen. I'm glad I have a friend in Jesus. Amen. and that he can help us along the way. The word of God said here, you've not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. I believe that go is the word that's left out of the gospel in our generation. I told Brother Steve, I think it was Friday night after the Bible school program was over. No, maybe it was Saturday. We were putting up things, tearing down. I told Brother Steve, I think it'd be wonderful. Listen to me, Bible school teachers. If every Bible school teacher took every student that you had in Bible school, a lot of these young'uns are unchurched. A lot of them, never had anybody to be a friend to them. And we just take our visitation team. We've got 18 or 20 that are faithful to visit. It'd be good if every teacher teamed up with somebody on that team and went into every home and made a personal contact with every family and let them know that we thank God for their children. Amen. Try to get them in children's church. Try to get them in Sunday school. Try to get them in the Wednesday night youth meeting. Amen. And Brother Preston, your plate will be full. You had 31 all week. Amen. But it'd be wonderful if we could just reach them. Go with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And reach them. Be a friend to them. Has to do with being a friend. Friendship. Jesus said, you've not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring something with you. Bring some fruit when you come back, that your fruit should remain. Whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Jesus said, if we regard iniquity in our heart, the Lord's not going to hear us. So if we're not clean, he's not going to hear us. If we're not clean, we're not going to have joy. If we're not close, we're not going to have joy. And I tell you, beloved, we're not going to be able to experience this fellowship and this friendship that the Bible is telling us about tonight. Look at the last thing with me tonight. And the believer's joy, we're talking about this joy that's full. Beloved, it comes from fellowship and has to do with fellowship and friendship. But it has to do with something else, and that's a foe, an enemy. And listen, it's right here in the Word of God. And there's no accidents in the Word of God. Look in verse number 18. He said, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Let me just say this tonight. If you think you're going to serve God and you're going to have joy unspeakable and full of glory and you're never going to be in that valley that Sister Tanita sang about tonight, and you're never going to meet the foe, say amen. Beloved, listen, if you're a man, except for Brother Preston, he didn't shave this morning. Amen. He's got a beard on. But if you shaved this morning, you shaved the foe. Say amen. This flesh is not your friend and not my friend. It's our enemy. This world is not your friend. The Bible said the friendship of the world is enmity with God. This world is not our friend. It's our enemy. And beloved, listen, the devil is not our friend. He walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He hates us. He hates our kids. He hates all these young people. And he wants to destroy their lives. There's the foe. Well, you say, preacher, I don't know what that's got to do with joy. Well, I think a lot of people get saved and they set out in life and they think it's always going to be like it was the day they got saved. And I'll tell you something, you're going to find out. When you get saved, God builds a hedge around you. How many knows that? But I'm going to tell you something right now. You get saved and then that hedge will begin to fall down a little bit. You know why? God wants us to mature. God wants us to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. God wants us to take on some of that responsibility. Amen. Keep yourselves in the love of God. That's what God wants us to do. And the Word of God is talking here about our enemy, the foe. Look in verse 19. He said, if you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. You know what I believe tonight? I believe with all of my heart, if we'd get as close as we're supposed to be and get as clean as we're supposed to be, help me tonight, I believe we'd be hated more than we are right now. I believe we'd be hated more in this world than we are right now. Brother Don was preaching about the church. I never shall get over what I heard last Sunday night. Brother Don was preaching about the church, and I don't know if he said it, but I heard a preacher say one time, he said, the world is so churchy, and the church is so worldly, that you can't hardly tell the difference. And I'm going to tell you, it should never be that way, amen. The church ought to take its stand in the world, but we're not of this world. We're, beloved, listen, pilgrims and strangers on the earth. He said here, remember the word that I said unto you in verse 20, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake. Here's something you need to learn as a child of God. If you're ever hated, you won't be hated because of who you are. You'll be hated because of who he is. God said it's for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. In other words, his presence reveals mankind's sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not sinned. But now they have seen and hated both me and the Father. But this cometh to pass that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. But he said, when the comforters come, I'll send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. You also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. Now talking about the foe, go back to 1 Peter. Go back to 1 Peter with me for just a moment, please. I want you to see this tonight, and we'll be finished. Look in verse number 3. Blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the God on the mountain, Sister Tanita. See him? How many can say, blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope? How many can say he's God on that mountain? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, is he God on the mountain? And to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. I said, is he God on the mountain? Look here. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. This is talking about the trials of life, the valleys of life. And what I want you to see tonight is this joy unspeakable and full of glory is supposed to be present on the mountain and in the valley. Watch what he said here. He said that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold. How many be honest tonight and say our flesh, amen, would rather do without the trials? I'd rather go around it. Nobody wants to go through it. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. What are we going to do when he comes? You say, well, I got a 50-50 shot. Maybe I'll be on the mountain. Maybe I'll be in the valley. But here's what the Bible's teaching. We're supposed to have joy in either place. Our joy is not determined by what's going on around us. Our joy is determined by what's going on inside of us. And what's going on inside of us should never change. Amen. It ought to be about him, the one that loves us, the one that fellowships with us, the one that cleans us and is close to us. Watch what the Bible said. Whom having not seen, you love. In whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Brother John was teaching on faith this morning in Sunday school. We've been teaching on faith through the book of John, talking about believing God. Let me ask you this question. Here's where we are in John chapter number 15. Could it be that our joy is not what it's supposed to be because our faith is not what it's supposed to be? We need to answer that tonight. Could it be that our faith is not what it's supposed to be because we're not as clean as we're supposed to be, or because we're not as close as we're supposed to be? You know how close we are to the Lord tonight. You know how close your pastor is to the Lord tonight, just as close as he wants to be. That's how close every one of us is to the Lord tonight, just as close as we want to be. I heard somebody say this one time, and I think it's true. We try to divide our lives up into compartments. If you could liken it to a house, like it's, you know, if you're looking at an advertisement on the house, they'll say it's a 3-bedroom, 2-bath, or it's a 4-bedroom, 2.5-bath. They'll give you square footage, you know what I mean? And they'll give you the age of the house. They'll give you the acreage that goes with the house and give you an idea of what the house is like. But somebody said this one time. It said it's like walking through the house and here's a door that says welcome, and here's a door that says welcome, and here's a door that says welcome. And then there's a door that says, keep out. Beloved, I'll tell you something tonight about the Christian life. There cannot be any doors in our life where our Lord is not welcome. If there's a door where we don't want him on the backside of that door, we need to get cleaned up what's on the backside of that door and hang a welcome sign on it. Somebody say amen. Because it'll never, never, never have the joy that God wants us to have if we don't allow him, beloved, to clean us up, allow him to be close, beloved, in our hearts and in our lives. How many is glad you come tonight?
Amen.
How many with an upraised hand tonight would say, preacher, I remember a time in my life when I believed my joy was stronger than it is tonight. Would you raise your hand? Thank you for your honesty. God will help us if we'll let him. Amen. He'll help us if we'll let him. And I'm going to tell you something. It's a sad state of affairs. I've been there. To be saved by the grace of God, know your name's written in heaven, know you're heaven bound with a hammer down, and know you're not in fellowship with God. It's a bad place to be in. Amen. How many's ever been there? You know what I'm talking about. You try to pray and it's like the heavens are brass. I'm going to tell you something right now. I want that line open, don't you? I want it open. Let's come around the altar and pray tonight.